Broadcasting live from the Fort Recovery Radio Studios in downtown historic Fort Recovery, Ohio, right next to Tin Man's, it's time for some sports talk with Bubba and Fee. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Bob Stogler and Mr. Harold Feely. Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
We're on.
Hey, we're on.
I thought we was going to do commercials.
No, yeah. We're going
to
just talk.
Hey, welcome to Sports Talk Wednesday night here in studio. Big week coming up. Big week we just had in sports. Fall sports season has got underway for Fort Recovery High Schools. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. I got my partner, Mr. Feely, has got a daughter playing volleyball at UNOH. He just texted me, said they're down 2-0 after two, so ouch. A couple close ones. So we're joined by our other sidekick, Dave Kelp.
Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Welcome to the show, big guy. Thanks for coming up, short notice.
You betcha.
We also got Chuck, the main man over there, monitoring. We got Mick Spence in the house, and we're also joined by the football coach of Fort Recovery High School, Mr. Brent Neat, camp coach.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Well, let's just get right. Brent, now we're going to take a break. What do you want us to do here, Spencey?
Yeah, we've already introduced everybody, so yeah, let's just take a quick break.
Okay, we got to pay some bills starting now. We want to thank our sponsors for Sports Talk. It's Research Energy, Tin Man Sports Ball, K&L Sports Bar and Grill.
You're close.
K&L Tractor Sales, Fowler Mechanical, Calpe's taking the last four.
Nature's Green Nursery, Wayne IGA, Hastings Auto Sales, and my little buddy, Brother Tom, at the Forget-Me-Not.
How about B&D?
And B&D has a couple of spots in here.
B&D got a couple spots tonight?
Yes, sir, I think. At least one.
Perfect.
For sure.
Rossburg Acres out?
Not right now. We're not.
He's out. We ain't messing around. You pay your bills.
We ran out of room.
That's why we do the commercials, Bob.
Yeah.
Take her away, Chuck. Hey, we're back here. Sports Talk with head coach of the Fort Recovery Indian football, Brent Niekamp, and my partner, Dave Kalp, tonight. Calpe, first of all, let's get the show started. I want to commend you. Hell of a job doing the public address announcement Friday night.
That was fun. I couldn't have done it without you, though.
Well, I didn't do much, but...
Somebody had the spot and let me know who hit the tackles. And
yeah. No, that was good. That
it was
easy.
Fun, though. No, that's not easy. No. I give Big Joe a lot of credit because that's not easy at all.
Big Joe had a prior commitment to the game Friday night, and he'll be back next game, but we threw Calpe up there in the booth, and Calpe... did a wonderful job, as always.
We would do that for him anytime Big Joe needed a break.
And we got free pizza.
Ooh, great pizza.
Yeah, Toby's carry out.
Toby's carry out.
Now we figured out why Joe's up there year after year.
Check.
We know what he's up to.
Free pizza, free pie, nothing wrong with that.
You can't beat that.
Yeah, and it's good pizza.
But I guess, you know, as good a job as you did announcing, I would say that the Fort Recovery football team did a better job of playing.
Oh, my
Coach,
God, yeah.
You got to be excited about the first game.
Yeah, we started off the way we wanted to, you know. That was a pretty decent team that Sidney Lehman sent up here, and we were able to jump on them. And then, you know, things got away from them there. But for the most part, we played the way we hoped to.
Yeah, absolutely. And like me and Calpe talked about up in the booth, and, you know, we're just a couple of idiots. But what's nice about that is we come out there and we establish the line of scrimmage right off the get-go. And we also made mistakes that we know we can get better at. And that's going to be a plus, right? Oh, drops, balls, penalties, stuff that early games, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as a coach, you never want to see that stuff. I'm sitting there pulling my hair out, and I'm frustrated by it. But you're right. And in the big picture, those are things that are correctable and things that we'll clean up and get better at as we go. And we're going to have to.
Yeah. Did we get through injury-wise? We in good shape?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we have any major injuries right now.
Well, that's good. That's good. So let's go back and talk about the game a little bit. If I remember right, Lehman got the ball, and we're off the get-go.
Two plays.
Tanner Cook, I think, one-handed interception.
Ontrop had the first one?
Yeah.
Ran it down, and Coach, you got to be happy with the play on Big Nate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a fun kid to coach because he always listens to what you tell him. And all week long, Smoke Link and Tyler Webker are telling him, get your hands up, you know, stay in front of this kid. And we pressured him. It was a screen pass. Nate stayed back and read it well, and they threw it right to him. And I was teasing him today. He was running sprints, and I said, Nate, if you were running that touchdown today, you'd have scored. and run a little faster today.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's got to be.
Well, he got right down there the nitty gritty. What was it? Two-yard line or something?
Yeah,
or?
I think he did get to the two.
Right there.
From where we was at, hell, we thought he was in.
Yeah, I thought he was in.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
what a great way to start the campaign.
Oh,
my
God.
Yeah.
You can't make a play like that and not get in, or your teammates will never let you hear the end of
you
it.
You got to love it. Yeah, that's right. That is exactly long. Right. So then Darian gets the extra point. We kick off. I think they get the ball about to 37, if I remember right. And was it two plays later?
It was, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't might have long. Been I think it
first
was
first or second play, yeah.
I think
it might have been the first play in the second possession.
And Tanner just made a great play.
Oh, one-handed catch.
Great
catch. It was amazing. Those guys tease each other. You know, they say, and when they want somebody to make a play, they say, be an athlete. And then, you know, we're watching the film the next day, and Blockberger says, an athlete.
And we made it.
That was an athlete.
Well, nice job.
Yeah.
And then I think Kyle Scherer took it home from there.
Yeah.
For the Indians' second touchdown, Darian made the extra point. And we're up 14-0 10 minutes in the ballgame. And you got to be super excited about the start against a team that, quite frankly, we didn't know a lot about, but we knew last year. They lost their first two non-league games, and then they won all their league games.
Yeah.
And then get beat in the third round of the playoffs to Marion Local. So they, you could tell, they got good players.
Well, and you and I talked to a couple guys prior to the game and talked about the Cavaliers and what they expected out of their season. And both of them told us that they expected to win that game.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we talk, you know, and you try to pick guys out who are, you know, carry a clipboard or something, guys that not a parent that has blinders right. on. Somebody you thought, you know, what are they thinking? And you're right. This guy was I think he was a sports writer, and he said, you know, they're thinking victory.
Yeah, they were thinking victory, and I'm sure they walked out thinking, not victory anymore.
Team's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got beat.
Yeah, that was a good, capable team. It was really they were a really good tackling team. Yeah. We had a trouble. We couldn't get big plays in the open field. If they had us one-on-one, they usually made the tackle. And that's something that we're going to challenge our guys with, but that's also something you got to commend them for. They were well coached, you know, well disciplined. Their quarterback's a nice player, and I think they'll have a chance to do well in their league again.
Well, that's what we want. We're rooting for them.
Absolutely,
now.
Yeah.
Go to Lamb. Win all Cavaliers.
They want. Right. Yeah. Win all they want now.
Yeah, we're rooting for them.
Well, I thought that and Bob and I talked a little bit on Saturday about how well they tackled one on one, and we noticed that too. And because we had some chances where we could have. Looked like we were going to go down the field and this was going to be a score, and they would get it.
Yep, yep.
So give them credit on that.
So Coach, you go into that game, and I don't know the extent of how much tape you watch of Lehman or if you get scrimmage tapes or whatever it is, but did you think we could run or throw it, or what was your thinking going into?
I felt like we had the two scrimmage videos that we exchanged with them. That's kind of a gentleman's agreement. Usually coaches will exchange with you. So we saw in those two videos that we felt like we were probably better up front than they were. And we felt like that it was a tough matchup for them in most areas. We thought their quarterback was kind of dangerous. And we also thought that they were going to be well coached and they would execute. So if we screwed things up, they were going to beat us.
Right.
We felt that way going in. But we also thought that if we played well over the course of the game, we probably had better personnel than them. And we're probably going to get them.
So, go ahead, David.
It certainly looked like our line on both sides of the ball controlled that game.
Yeah.
I mean, as the game progressed, for sure. And we talked about that, too. But especially in the first half, they could not get a running game going at all.
Well, our defensive line's pretty good.
Yeah,
those guys are they're pretty exciting.
Coach, how about a shout-out to your defensive line? Who you got to pair up?
Well, the two young kids that play a lot at the defensive tackles are sophomores, Matt Keeson and Andrew Stocker. And those guys they're both sophomores, and they're both like 220 and real strong and real athletic, and they're hard for just about anybody to block. Guys that rotate in for them are Kalen Rockwood and Cheese, Chris Link. And then at the ends is Adam Lefevre and Nate Ontrop. And subbing in for those guys is Ryan Braun and Kyle Kanapke.
So is that the first taste of varsity football for Kyle and Brawny?
I'd say for sure. I think
Brawny for sure. Kyle... Kyle was kind of a role player last year. He played some special teams and stuff like that. And Stocker worked his way in last year. Yeah. By tournament time last year, he was playing. But for Matt, for Keese, that was
first play.
That was the first of it. Yeah,
man, that was an impressive start. So the Indians get off to an early start, 14-0, and then I think we added a score before half. Is that right?
It's 21-0.
I think that was also. I'm sure it was.
Didn't Willie run that one all the way down and
Sure Kyle finished it off.
Yeah.
So Kyle's numbers look like he had like 18 carries for 134 yards or something.
Yeah.
About as many times you want him can't handle it. What?
We'll hand it to him as many times as it takes to win.
That's right. Is he a workload? I mean, can he carry it 30 times
again?
So.
Yeah, but the nice thing is, I don't think he has to.
Right.
You know, Will's doing a great job, and he showed Friday that he can take those extra carries away from Kyle if we need him to, and we can keep Kyle fresh, play Kyle a little bit on defense if we have to.
It looked to me like you did a lot that game like you did last year when Cole would run the ball and then you'd take him out and Kyle would go in and you couldn't tell the difference.
If one of them breaks a long run and gets gassed, we just put the other one in right away and let them get a drink, let them get their air back, and then
and you don't lose a beat.
Yeah,
it's really. And looked like Will was doing the same thing that Kyle was.
Unfortunately, then Will didn't get a score on those. He ran it down there, and that's how that goes. But
we had 300 yards rushing and 170 through the air, and Lehman had 148 total offense, 146 total offense. So, man, hey, what a way to start the season. And your quarterback did exactly what you wanted him to do. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, number one, we didn't throw him the ball. And, you know, we missed some reads and stuff like that, but that's bound to happen early on, especially, I think, with Caleb and Wes, with both of those guys that are obviously good players, and they're capable of making big plays, so they're going to try to make big plays. And sometimes when it's not available to them, they'll try to – you know what I mean? Yeah. So those are going to be there. Those opportunities will be there, and we just have to be patient and keep doing the right things, and we'll get them.
Absolutely. So the Indians go into halftime up 21-0, and the third quarter kind of start out basically just like the first half, and the Indians rolled a 36-0 victory. A couple of kids that we're going to talk about, you had to be impressed with your backup with both running backs. Of course, Kyle Schreier's a stud. You know, we know coming in that you know we had Cole Hall last year, and he was probably the best running back we ever had, but we had a pretty good backup.
Oh, yeah.
And he stepped up, and we got a pretty good one right there in Kyle Schreier. And we also have a pretty good backup this year in Will Holman.
Yeah, that's, you know, like I said before, it's so nice to have that depth there. It's so nice to not have to give the same guy the ball 30 times if he's your guy. And we had that luxury last year, which, you know, Cole stayed very healthy. But we felt all along that Kyle was capable back, and that's how we feel about Will this year. You know, Will was funny after the game. We were standing around talking, and Block says, "Everybody's gone, and Will is still out there telling everybody who will listen that he had 100 yards rushing today." So I walk outside, and of course Will's out there with three people, and I said, "Will, everybody's tired of hearing how many yards you had tonight." Then he's, you know, he doesn't stop. He right into me.
Yeah, you gotta love that, man. That kid is a Jones for football, and that's one of the reasons why I think the success of our program, not only basic, but the kids know the game. We have a lot of kids that know the game of football, and I think that helps out.
It's one of the things I was going to bring up is just the buzz of football all the way down to seventh grade right now. Just talking to the people that have gone to those games, and our seventh grade is looking really, really good. Our eighth grade has played well. Our freshmen haven't been beat yet. And then our JVs, I guess we've only played one game, obviously. But, I mean, it's all the way down to that junior high level where everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
it is. It's a buzz.
And that's cool.
I agree.
Yeah, well, I think it's great that you want it to be something that's fun for kids to do. You know, you have to, obviously, with you know, any sports extracurriculars and stuff like that, you're competing with a lot of stuff that those kids could be doing. So it somehow has to be fun for them.
That's right.
And it, of course, it's fun to win. But just the overall atmosphere, we want to make that something that those guys want to be around.
Absolutely. And a great crowd Friday night. For
oh, yeah. Loved yeah, it. Tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to take a break here.
Bobby, we got a new phone number. We didn't say that yet.
This is unbelievable. We have call-ins, 419-516-0702. And we're going to have
a new thing for tonight, right?
We're going to open the line up. If you don't want to be an idiot on here, but, you know, come on, ask a good question, and we'll put you on the air and listen to yourself talk. It's kind of fun. Me and Kevin have been doing it for all the baseball season. Nobody listens except me and you.
No, that's quite all right. But
yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. We're going to take a break here back before cover radio right after. All right, we're back here. Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee. Dave Kalp subbing for Mr. Feely. Kalpy?
Hey.
Hit her hard today or not?
Oh, man. Hot day today.
Oh, Jesus.
Muggy.
Ain't going to get any cooler either.
No, a couple more days of hot heat.
You'll be ready for the weekend, won't you?
I'll be ready for the game Friday night.
You ain't kidding.
We're traveling, anyway.
Road trip.
Yep.
Against the team that we beat in the playoffs last year, the Fort Laramie Redskins. What do you know about them?
Well, we saw them last year, you know, so we're familiar with some of their kids, their quarterback. The kid who's starting now at quarterback played at the end of the game last year. He was a freshman. He's a sophomore now. He's got a real nice arm. He's got a gun. But he looks a little unsure yet. You know, he's starting his second varsity game coming up against us. And they also had a freshman corner last year who was really – they guarded Wes with him. And he was tough. He's back too. So we know they got – those two guys are pretty good. They're always pretty big up front, and they look that way again. And, you know, they got a new coach over there, mm-hmm. Whit Parks. And when he was at Minster, he ran kind of that crazy single wing stuff. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what he was known for. And they're not like that now. They're not doing a bunch of that stuff. And they look like they're kind of getting their legs under them. I mean, they're capable. I would put them in a category with Sidney Lehman.
Right.
And if that quarterback gets hot, you know, he could be dangerous.
So we travel, and I think is it a 7:30 game?
I think so, yeah.
Or is it a 7? 7:30?
They're all 7:30.
Okay. I was thinking one of them was a different start, and I thought this was the one, but, well, good. So the Indians are traveling. Tomorrow the junior high has a game up here with Versailles Tigers.
Versailles, yeah.
And that's always fun. So if you're a parent, support the junior high. Me and Fee went over and watched the junior high boys play at St. Henry last Thursday. Man, we had a lot of fun. And that 7th grade team, they got a chance to be really special. And the 8th grade team impressed the absolute crap out of me because St. Henry has a nice 8th grade team.
Yeah.
And we battled back and come from behind and had a chance to win it. And they got a fluke touchdown at the end. And we stopped a 2-point conversion for a tie. But a great way to start the junior high kids, too.
Yeah. That St. Henry team, I think, beat our 8th graders last year as 7th graders. And I don't recall the score for sure, but I think they beat them pretty easily.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I think they're making some progress. And that 7th grade group's pretty exciting because there's some pretty good athletes there, and they look like they like to hit.
Yeah,
they're physical.
And they run.
Yeah,
Dang, they got some fast.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Fast rats out there. So tomorrow, get up to Barenbury Park at 5 o'clock. Junior high starts at Versailles, and you know Versailles will be good. They have great junior high teams. So we're traveling to Fort Laramie, like we said, Friday night. What's offensively would be the same deal? We'll try to mix it up a little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
I think we'll mix it up.
Yeah.
we want to be able to do either thing. You know, you hear coaches all the time say we want to be balanced. And what that means is being able to do whatever the defense is going to let you do, you know. They can't defend everything. At least they have to decide if they really want to stop a good player. They have to make that decision, and then you have to be able to beat them the other way.
Figure out who's open. Yeah.
Right. So that does, you know, being balanced doesn't mean being 50-50. Being balanced means that if they want to take away West Winning, then we can run the ball. We can get the ball to other guys.
Well, I tell you what, just watching our first game, and I thought our play calls was working out really good once we figured out what was going on. And, you know, I came home and Harrison said, man, Russ didn't have many catches, did he? And I said, well, I said, he didn't have his long catches like he normally does. But I think he had, but he had 8 catches.
Yeah, yeah, he had 7 or 8.
Yeah, I mean, he caught the ball, and it was, you know, he said, I just didn't seem like he was. And I said, well, we were waiting for the big game.
Right,
you know?
Right. And that's kind of what I said before about patience is we know he can do that, but not every play is going to be Wes running behind the defense and catching
a
bomb. Right. And I think our kids right now have such – they have really, really high expectations. And they want to score on every single play.
Yeah.
So sometimes for us talking to them, it has to be, look, we have to understand what's kind of a realistic look and big picture of each play. You know, a 7-yard hitch is 7 yards. You're 7 yards closer to a first down. So that's a good play.
Yeah.
Plus, every time you do one of those, that sets up that long play just a little bit better.
Right.
Sometimes you're just running one play to get that defense thinking that, and then you can run that.
You know, absolutely. If Wes runs behind the defense every single time, then they're going to guard him every single time.
Yeah.
Right. It would be hard to defend that.
You got to mix that up.
Yeah.
And so if you do a couple of pass plays to set up a run, or you do some short pass plays to set up a long pass play. There's a lot of things you can do just as kind of...
So do you worry about overconfidence? How do you control that? I mean, because we did it in baseball this year. We went, you know, when we started out 15-0 and then we got beat and we ran into a lull where we just... we was deflated.
Really, really hurt our morale or something, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that's something that you... I mean, you'll worry about when the time comes, I guess.
Well... I think we for so long, our football program and our teams were in a point of, I think, where we had almost like an inferiority complex. Like we would almost be waiting for bad things to happen through the course of a game. And I think we realize now that there's nothing wrong with us. There's no outside thing that affects it. It's how well we play. And a play-by-play through a game. That doesn't guarantee victory, but it gives us a chance. Against teams that we're matched up with athletically. And so the overconfidence thing I don't really think about, but something that we talk about a lot is you know, our guys, they've been saying all spring and summer that their goal, they want, you know, week 15. They want to make a long tournament run and get to that 15th week. So we try to get them to understand that they're not competing against the guy next to them. Like, you're not just playing right guard to be the best right guard on this team. You're playing right guard to be better than the defensive tackle on the other team and on the best team that we play this year.
Right.
That's what you're working towards. And so we the kids say it, and then we say it to them. Are you giving a week 15 performance? Are you practicing like a week 15 team? Are you scrimmaging like a week 15 team?
And in a lot of ways this summer we're just crazy about the lifting.
We looked at that game Friday and we said there was a lot of things about that game that was not what a week 15 team does.
Yeah.
Penalties, you know, drop passes, those kind of things. So there's, you know, when I say the high expectations, I think those guys have a pretty good sense of urgency of, you know, we have to get playing at a very high level.
Right. And it's also that foxhole mentality where I am going to bust my butt for that guy that signed up beside me.
Yeah.
And it brings the team together, and you can see it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, the competition and it's what makes
friendly competition, I think, on the team,
right,
too.
Right.
I go out the backyard. They're practicing over behind my place now. So I'll pop out there and watch once in a while. And that's not allowed, is it? Not allowed?
Closed practices?
Well, I think, you know, Calpe's a friend of the program, so...
I didn't see a sign or anything over there, but...
And if you can see him from your porch, it's okay.
Well, I take the golf cart out there, so I don't want to stand, so... But, you know, it just seems like they're getting along tremendously.
Yeah.
And you watch them out there, and they're having fun, and they're making good plays. And actually, I think they're hitting pretty damn hard for practice, you know? I mean, I don't know how hard you let them hit, or if you... I mean, they can't be wide open hardly, can they?
Well, you try to limit that a little bit in practice, but you're right. The competition is fierce. but it is friendly. They are buddies. They understand that we all want the same thing, and that's coaches included. You know, we all have fun being out there. Us coaches love to be out there because it's a great bunch of kids. They want to learn. They want to get better. They want us to push them. They understand that if we get on them, it's because we think they can do better, and they want to do better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you ever get a duke out? You ever have them go after it? You got to split them up?
That hasn't happened very often. Maybe two or three times in my 10 years. Yeah. But it's friendly stuff. Like, you know, we're walking off the field today, and Smoke Link comes up to me and he said, you know, on the scout team, Darian was playing the scout team corner and covering Wes. And he walks over and kind of bumps Coach Link and says, yeah, Wes didn't have very many catches today.
Yeah.
They just like to do that little friendly competition. They're always trying to edge each other, and that's good. I think, you know, that's healthy, and that's how you get better.
So I'm sitting there on Twitter tonight, and I'm watching the Reds, and I see a picture of a couple of our kids icing down in a trash can. Now, Coach, we ain't got any money. Can we get the poor guys a little bit of a hot sauna or something?
Nope. Trash can, boys.
You see it?
That's an ice bath, Bob.
I know.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Like, when you jump in ice up to your waist, and it gets your legs rejuvenated, but it's murderous for about 2 or 3 minutes.
So that's what they're for. That's to rejuvenate your...
Yeah.
Because all the colleges do it.
Yep. You ice bath, you jump in there after practice, and it makes your legs feel like brand new, but it's there they are.
Yeah, we're looking at it.
That's what it feels like right there. Right, the look on Will's face is exactly what it feels like.
And you put your DBs and your run, or everybody, whoever wants. Of course, some of them can't fit in there.
We used to do that regularly, and we had some tubs, and then I guess we kind of got away from it. And the guys had a hot one tonight, so they wanted to do it, and they jumped in there, and that's. It's great therapy for them.
Yeah. So you're going out there in 90 degree weather. Yeah. You got to be concerned about the heat. Working too hard. You cut short.
Not really. We just you get acclimated to it. Like, we've been out there every single day, and most of those days have been cool, but some of them have been hot. We have managers out there. We got some girls that help us out that do a great job. Faith Hall, Peyton, Toby, and then Wes's little brother. Is it Owen? Owen Winning.
Neat little dude.
Those kids are always out there helping. So there's the guys have water available all the time.
Yeah.
And then they're always drinking water, and we keep an eye on them. But, you know, the work done over the summer is what gets guys ready to practice on days like today.
Yeah.
You know, running sprints in the student athletic center when it's 90 degrees in there and humid, and they're running 20 sprints in a row, and guys are walking outside and throwing up. You know, those days make practices like today survivable for them.
Right. So like in basketball, and in Calpe, you played basketball, but Wednesday's practice sucked worst because that was a short practice and it was a running practice.
Yeah.
Thursday was a pregame, kind of went through the motions. So is it kind of that way in football too?
Tuesday and Wednesday are the hard days. Okay. Those are the days when we're in full pads and when we're really getting after it. Monday is more of a mental day, going through the scouting report, because a lot of Mondays the freshmen are gone playing a game, so we only got part of the guys. So we're in shoulder pads and shorts on Mondays, and we're basically going through the scouting report of what we're going to see from the upcoming team. Tuesday we hit it hard, defensive day. Wednesday we hit it hard, offensive day, and then Thursday is just tune-up day.
Now, do you have a meal, team meal tomorrow?
No, we don't do those. I like the guys to be able to go home.
Yeah.
You know?
Go to volleyball group.
Absolutely. Go to junior high football games, volleyball games, be able to be at home.
Yeah.
So that's the night I get to go home.
And you get to see the kids and the wifey.
I think that's a good idea, too.
Yeah. We're asking a bunch of questions here because I'm just kind of nosy. But another thing that I was kind of curious about, your quarterback, do they fire the ball all week? Or do you shut them down, like throwing
like
a ball?
Like a pitch count?
Yeah.
Not really, but they're not throwing a million balls a day either. Like, you know, if you figure all the plays scripted for practice, you know, about half of them are runs. So on those plays, it's, you know, they're just as much of his job as his footwork and carrying out fakes and knowing the offense, where guys are going to be, setting up the protection, making sure the guys are, you know, motioning when they need to motion and those kind of things. So, yeah, they're throwing a lot of balls, but I don't think it's just not like they're not out there for 2 hours of practice throwing footballs
right.
all practice long.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that they're doing than that.
So your coaching staff meet Sundays?
Yeah, Sunday nights.
Sunday nights, you guys all get together?
Yep.
And then you watch the – what do you
– Well, we get the videos, and we'll meet Saturday morning to watch the previous game with the kids.
Okay.
And then on our own, all of us have, like, our jobs for things that we watch for and things that we chart of the opponents. And we do that all weekend. And then we get all our reports and stuff ready, and then we meet Sunday night, and we talk about, okay, these are the things that we think we can do against this team.
Now, you ever want me and Calpy come to that, or we?
Well, you know.
I mean, you know.
Just tell us what to do. We can do it. Yeah. We can chart something.
It's, you know, that's the part of, like, that's the part of coaching that is, that in my opinion, that's, like, the real work. Yeah. And it's the most boring thing. It's the thing that, you know, nobody,
yeah,
that's nobody right. cares
so
about that stuff.
On Sunday nights, you're looking at the next opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So on Sunday night, you guys, so over the weekend, you're looking at, like this past weekend, you looked at Fort Laramie, and Sunday evening, you got together and you talked about Fort Laramie.
Right.
And this is what you like, you know, this is what they've been doing, this is what they're running.
Right.
And then you come up with your game plan.
Yep. That's our Sunday meetings. And it's stuff, you know, like, you know, their favorite formations, their favorite plays offensively, who are the players they want to get the ball to. Defensively, are there any players we can pick on? How are they going to try to defend us? You know, what are their favorite coverages, fronts, blitzes, stuff like that?
You know, Coach, we were talking about the other players, but when Jason Griesner came in, I got to tell you, I thought he played fabulous there towards the tail end of that game, plus his defense the entire game. But when he came in to and replaced Marty there in the fourth quarter, he ran the ball probably, I don't know, half a dozen times maybe or something.
Yeah.
But, geez, I thought he played really well.
Jason's a really, really smart player.
I can't believe how much bigger he is.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I really can't.
He's done a lot of good work in the weight room. And, you know, our quarterbacks after Caleb, we wanted to develop a guy who could be an emergency quarterback who we felt could give us a chance to win games on Friday nights, you know. And the guy who's been playing quarterback the most in the JV level is Cade Wendell. Ryan Braun playing a little bit there. And then, I don't think Ryan's been playing hardly at all anymore because he's been playing tight end. But then Clayton Pearson. You know, and we just weren't sure that either of those two guys that we would want to have to throw into a situation like that. You know, if we're playing Minster and the game's on the line, and Marty rolls his ankle, what do we do?
Right.
We want to have a guy ready. And Jason is such a smart player. Right. He picked up the whole offense, and we kind of have it packaged for him when he's in there to be that kind of guy for us. So we're glad to get him some reps. And
well, I thought he was impressive.
Oh, yeah, he runs the ball well, and he runs the offense well, really.
Hey, we're going to have to take a short break here. It's going until 9. We've been on here with Coach Niekamp, Bubba and Phoebe, Sports Talk. Back here, Sports Talk. In studio with my good friend Dave Kaup, head coach of the Indians, Brent Niekamp. Hey, Chuck, minding the board back there.
What's up?
How's your mom doing?
She's doing better.
Good, good. She had a little scare there?
A little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, Chuck.
Yep.
A little bit.
Thank God. You drove her crazy. I mean, you're probably the cause.
I wasn't even home.
But over the course of... How old are you, Chuck?
I'm never home. I'm 22.
So she was worried about you.
Over the course of 22 years, you drove her to that.
Yeah.
So, Chuck, I'm just saying.
It wasn't only me. I have two other siblings. I mean,
well, I'm glad she's doing great.
Yeah.
Shout out. Hope she gets feeling better.
Yeah.
I got a question here on Twitter from... talking about a guy feeling better. Jack Stogler's home. Jack's in a battle of... with his battling a little cancer, things are going good for him, and he just texted me, and he wants to know, Coach, any surprises from the other games in Week 1? I was really wanting Anna to win that game over Arlington.
Oh, yeah. You know, just computer point-wise, you always root for the MAC schools. Big surprises. I was a little bit surprised that Coldwater shut out Kenton. I'm trying to think about the other ones. Delphus getting beat badly.
Going back to the cold water, did you see where Kenton's quarterback from 2 years ago transferred to Missouri, and he is playing for Matty Malk's dad at a high school? And after two games, he's threw for 1,280 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Lima News had it. So I think he probably seen the picture that Kenton's football program is on the downswing, and he said, "Boys, we're going to go with the Malk family."
Well, it's like the first they've been shut out in how many years? That's pretty incredible.
It was an impressive win for Coldwater.
Oh, really, absolutely. Was. Yeah, I watched it on WOSN, and they're tough. They played well. I didn't expect it was Bath that got St. John's. I didn't expect that. I thought, I wasn't sure if St. John's would win, but I thought that it would be competitive. I thought it'd be a really tough game.
They put it to them that night.
Yeah, 35-7. I'm looking.
Well, I guess that's not a huge margin. There could be a couple of plays either way.
Marion McComb was kind of a surprise.
That was a great game too. I watched that one.
Was that on?
Yeah, McComb's good.
Yeah,
they're tough.
They wanted Marion. They wanted this game.
Yes, so sir.
You know they. That's really neat. You got to feel good for New Bremen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. First win in 50 some games. Is that right, or was it 30 some?
I think it was like. I think it was like two and a half years.
Last game they beat was us.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was the last time they won.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Good for Bremen.
I got a
good for Bremen. Good for the conference.
Question that got texted to me here from one of our loyal listeners.
And you are allowed to call in.
Yeah, allowed to call in.
We have
419-516-0702. But P Dog, we got Wes as a preseason all-stater, right? And that what he's kind of been dubbed at.
It doesn't really mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything. But we know he's got some talent.
Yeah.
I mean, how good do you think this guy is? And do you think he can maybe move on to another, can he go to the next level?
Yeah, he can play at the next level. It's just which level of the next level, I think for Division I, he's probably not quite as fast as they would like. Although it's hard to tell sometimes because he's got a big frame. They might look at him and say, well, he's a tight end,
right,
and try to beef him up.
Right.
There's some teams that have shown some interest. One of the Horn boys from Waynesfield, Joe Horn, remember him as a player? He's a wide receivers coach at Ashland, and he's been in contact with me about Wes a few times, and I think he's pretty interested. He saw Wes play in person in the tournament games last year, so I think he'll have some interest. You know what level that is going to be hard to say.
Right. Yeah, it's really neat that we're getting interest from.
It's so
now, really.
It's such a neat experience for those guys. Even just the recruiting process, going and visiting those places, and everybody wants to be nice to you.
Absolutely.
It's cool.
I got another text here from Perry Hall. Perry's in class right now. But he's listening on his headphone, which he's probably going to get in trouble. But Perry wants to know, when it comes to non-conference scheduling games, and Perry is a Jay County, he's got a lot of ties over there. He wants to know, do you guys take into account when you make the schedule out, playing the two schools like that, or playing the Jay County and North Union? How's that go about? Is that something you and Kurt talk about? Is that something?
Yeah. I have a lot to do with that. And he's probably wondering why we don't play the Jay County game anymore. And that's a great game for us. What happened was we thought we had a home-and-home deal, and we thought that could be long-term potentially. And their league, they had a league like reshuffling, and it bumped that spot in the season. And now they don't have a definite spot open for that game each year.
Yeah.
Now, I would be in favor down the road of trying to schedule them again.
Right.
Although we got two really good non-league games right now. These are two schools that, Sydney's a little bit further away, but not terrible.
No.
And Fort Laramie's nice and close, and they're, we got some ties there with people. And, they're two potentially good point games, which is big. But he's got a point with the Jay County thing, and I agree with him. I think that would be a great one to keep. It just didn't work out with the scheduling.
Yeah. I guess I was kind of thinking we were going to play him again this year, too. That was the initial plan. No, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and then the North Union was a one-year deal because we didn't want to play them to begin with. yeah. To be honest, they had coming into that game, they had you know, they had made the playoffs like 5 or 6 years in a row in Division Five. We knew they were really strong, and we just kind of ran out of options. And their coach said, I was talking to him, their coach on the phone, about it, and he said, "Oh, you know, we graduated all these seniors, and I'm first year coach here, and we'll come to your place for 1 year." Because that's like 2.5-3 hours away.
Absolutely.
I said, okay, we'll do it. And then we were fortunate enough to play really well and beat them. And that was a big point game, too. So
that got us in the playoffs. Yeah, no doubt about it. Because we wouldn't have made it other than that. So we talked about the other teams in the league. Sanhander with a nice win over Covington. Looks like the Niekamp kid's going to be a horse for him.
Oh, yeah. Jesse's he's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. He's that kind of a runner where he's straight ahead, knees up, kind of an Eddie George style of runner, and he's going to be tough.
Yeah, and then you got Versailles with a very impressive victory over Salina Bulldogs.
Yeah, you know that's a surprise. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought, not that Versailles would win, but in the fashion that they
won. Got a call, Coach. Yeah. Who we got? Bring him on.
Yeah. Hey, this is Perry. Just want to clarify my question.
Are you still in class, Perry?
What class?
No, I'm out.
What class
I'm
are you
out
in?
Now.
Okay.
Oh, I was just in an animation class. No big deal. Oh, but okay. Yeah.
Sounds like a big
Perry,
deal.
Perry, where do you go to school at?
I go to the Art Institute down in Mason.
And
Mason right behind Kings Island.
Really? How many times you hit Kings Island so far?
Actually, the 3 years I've been here, haven't been here once.
No. Not a fan of the racer. What you got for us,
Well,
bud?
No, I like, I got stuff to do.
You're a busy guy.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess I just wanted to clarify my question. I was wondering what the computer point discrepancy would be if you would play a smaller school team like Layman and Fort Laramie, like we're doing, that wins more compared to a much larger school like Jay County, or even just a semi-larger school like North Union that, well, I mean, North Union usually wins, but we'll just stay with Jay County, that, you know, usually doesn't have winning records. So I just wondered if there would be bigger points one way or another.
To be honest, I'm not sure. I think it's almost a wash. We did get more points from Jay County because they were bigger, but through the course of the year, we didn't keep getting points from them because they didn't keep winning. North Union was Division Five, and so that helps a little bit too because they're a little bit bigger. But they kept getting points. I think then they ran into injuries and then they didn't win later in the year. I'm not positive, but I think it's better if they win. I think it's better, even if they're a little smaller, if they win.
Yeah, I was just curious. I guess before I leave, I did want to point out that Cole might be playing football next year at Harding.
Really?
Oh, that's great.
Is that
now,
right? Yeah.
Now, he's not, like you're saying, next year, right?
Interested.
That's what I heard, too. That would be awesome. I think he's got the tools. Yeah. Just depends if he can.
He's definitely the most athletic in that family.
Oh,
oh well. I mean,
I don't want to.
Yeah,
I just wanted.
Wow.
Hey, we appreciate you calling in, partner.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Yep. Thanks, Perry.
All right. Bye.
Perry is a Jones for football too. I mean, I like following him on Twitter, and he's always. And he's good friends with Andy Lynch up there on Channel 44.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Actually, I think he did some work for him.
Probably.
Yeah, I think he interned there for, I don't know, he was there for at least a year.
Right, and then he's a great kid. He's got stuff going for
and
him.
And he showed me some of the stuff he does. It's incredible.
It is.
I mean, it's amazing, really.
Talented kid, no doubt about it. So we're traveling to Laramie here Friday. We got JV game Saturday with?
Fort Laramie.
Okay, they're coming over here.
Yep, they'll come our way.
And
then we got our first league game.
Then we start with the Anna Rockets.
And Anna's coming to town.
They come here.
Yeah.
Let's get this one for Friday night.
Oh, that'd be a big one for sure.
It would be
starting off the league that way. And you know, Anna's a team we haven't beat yet.
Yeah,
that's a notch we don't have on our belt yet. So
we haven't beat Anna.
No,
We'd have beat them last year, God. That we've damn been train close. Come through there. Double Chief snapped it to.
Oh, yeah, I agree. The train was a kill. Yeah.
We had a couple close ones with them. When,
and that did happen exactly that way, Bob. Yeah.
When Chuck Shire and Luke Stogler and those guys were seniors, we had them on the ropes here. They beat us by two in a game where they returned a kick for a touchdown. Frank Tinn had a fumble that they returned for a touchdown, and we had a snap go over the center's head out of the end zone for a safety.
And
they beat us by two. That was a sickening game. And
that about killed you.
That game gets us in the playoffs that year if we win.
Yeah. What year was that?
2007.
Was that Greggy being the quarterback in? Greg Collie quarterback?
Greg was the sophomore, yep. He was quarterback in that. Yep.
Yeah. So you got Anna, who we haven't beat yet. And then we got a schedule there that we got some winnable games.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, we're gonna have to beat one of our final four. We're gonna have to beat some of them guys. It is. You know, I look at it and you think, hey, you know, but it is a tough-ass schedule we got there, boys.
It's always tough.
It is. The MAC is awesome.
It's always tough.
Yeah. I was...
Well, you kind of have to think New Bremen and Parkway we should be able to beat, but the rest of them are tough.
Parkway played Crestview tough.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And so you can't count those out.
And that's a game. That's a game that Parkway thinks they can win. They think they're going to beat us.
Absolutely, because they beat us several times when they shouldn't have.
When you get in the league, nobody rules over for you ever.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I've had different friends from around who've coached other places and then have coached at different places in the MAC, and they say, this is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this, where the teams with the worst records in the league are very solid football teams that you absolutely have to out-execute and outplay to beat.
Yeah.
Week in and week out.
Every week. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you coming up here tonight and you know, as a late notice. And you got an open door any time to come up here on Wednesday nights. And people like listening to you, you know, and people love talking football. And like Coppy said, there is a buzz in our community about football.
Doubt. It's really fun right now.
It is. It's really fun. And you got to just enjoy the heck out of this. And I think your kids are. Andy's fired up a little bit, huh? They're all painted up.
Oh yeah, they're getting a little bit older. They're starting to think that this stuff's cool. Carly's starting to enjoy, you know, being around the games and everything. And Friday, Andy he made his way in the locker room after the game. He thought that was pretty neat.
He thought that was kind of groovy.
Yeah, he's smiling ear to ear, and I'm talking to the team, and he stands next to me, and then. Ross Homan brings all the guys up after I'm done talking, and they get a big breakout, you know, at the end, and Andy's standing right in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's just eating it up.
Wow.
So,
that has to be just awesome for him.
It's fun, you know, because it becomes part of our – the football stuff becomes part of our family life. It has to, or I don't see it.
It don't work.
And right. So – you know, that's how I grew up as a coach's son, and I've seen that.
Not a very good coach.
Well, he did the best
he could. But he was a great guy.
Your mom knows more about basketball than your dad does.
You know, but I've seen that situation work out in lots of families, and, you know, that's just how I think you're supposed to do it.
Well, good for you, Coach.
Thank you.
And you got a fan over here. But we want to thank you for coming in. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about Ford Recovery Sports this week. We got a lot of stats to go over.
Check.
We'll be right back after this.
All right. See you.
Tell me you ever heard this song.
Right.
Yeah. Judy in the sky. Judy in the sky. So what you are.
It's really hard to understand these words. I'm not sure I've ever really... Either they're gibberish and not real words, or they're real words but don't really mean anything.
Oh, no, they mean something.
You only got to know the basic.
That's right.
Oh, no, if you're listening last night, I played the song wide open.
Last night you did?
Last night. When I was moving this stuff around, wide open.
Just kept playing it.
So somebody with Chuck likes it.
Yeah.
Somebody was listening last night while Chuck was in here for... 4 or 5 hours moving everything around. You got to hear this.
All right, we're back here at Sports Talk with my good friend Dave Kalp, along with Charles Rohr, McNeil Spencer, the owner of FR Radio. Our good friend Mr. Philly just texted us and said the Racers went down in three. Kelsey played well, played a lot, but tough loss for the.
They've been struggling. I thought Harold told me last week that they've been getting whooped on a little bit.
So we got some stats this week, and we're going to throw it over to Davey. He's going to go over our first.
Girls golf.
Girls golf. Who'd they play?
Oh, I see. We played Marion Local, and we beat them 210 to 233. So that's pretty good, really. That's about
210 is pretty good.
Yeah, 210 is pretty good.
Now, if I remember right, we have a real young girls team.
Well, we've got a couple seniors. I know that for sure. With Tori and Trisha Tin. Tori Vaughn and Trisha Tin are seniors.
Tori Vaughn's a senior.
Corey Stone's a senior.
Okay, so maybe we ain't that young.
Yeah, we're veterans. I don't know about L.A. Keller. I don't know. L.A. Keller. I don't know who. Would that be Ivins?
Could be.
Ivins, maybe?
Might be. Would that be any relation to Jeremy that played 10 or 15 years ago?
No, yeah, that would be uncle. But and then Aaron Littmer, that's Beggs' daughter.
Yep.
So Tori Vaughn led us there with a 49. Ellie Keller had a 50. Trisha Tin, 53. Emily Bruntz, 58. Which has got to be Joe's daughter, right?
Absolutely. Coach Bruntz. Coach Joe Bruntz.
Coach Joe Bruntz and Coach Vaughn there. And Corey Stone had a 59. And Aaron Littmer had a 77. So, you know, I think reading in the paper there, but we've had some girls that have been shooting a little better than that. I mean, that's not their best rounds.
No, I think that's.
And we've won a couple matches. I mean, I don't know what that would be for the girls if they. I mean, I would think if they all broke 50, that would be a really good score, wouldn't it?
Oh, I would think that'd be school record.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if all of them did, I'd say that's probably
if all
right
four now. Girls broke 50?
That's probably,
The same night the girls really played Marion Local, the boys played Marion Local, and the Indians win at 175 to 178.
Very close.
Indians are led by
Hobby Dog.
Two-man, Jackson Hobbs with
and
a 40.
And Chase Bruns.
Chase
right?
Bruns with a 42.
Yeah, those guys are
Micaiah Cox with a 45. Two. Nick Littmer with a 48. Austin Fowler with a 51 and Colt Greasup with a 51. I look at Hobby's scores. Hobbsies was one under after 16 and goes double-double.
Ooh, ouch.
So that hurt. He was even after 16. But that's pretty good score. 17-18 will come up and bite you.
Oh, we know how tough they are.
Absolutely. Chase with a 42. Lots of bogeys. A few pars in there.
You know, I got to do a little shout out here to Austin Fowler, and I worked with Austin a couple times this summer. We got talking about his golf game, and he was telling me how he's consistently shooting 45 or better, you know, low to mid 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see it in the paper, I've yet to see his number start with 4.
He's in the 30s, is he?
So no, he didn't go the other way. He went the other way, Neil.
Oh.
So I've been pestering his pops about that a little bit. And the next time I get to see Austin, I'm gonna rub it in on him a little bit and see what happened there, because he, you know, his difference with playing with your buddies. You know, it's always
ain't that the truth?
That's a couple strokes right there. But anyhow, I'm gonna razz him a little bit.
You better.
That.
Hey, the girls' golf team traveled to Jay County yesterday and played a tri match with Jay County and Winchester at the Portland Country Club. Indians get beat by Jay County, 201. And Jay County shoots 201, Indians 203. Winchester, we beat Winchester, who shoots 233. Indians are led by Emily Bruns and Tori Vaughn with a pair of 48s. Trish Tin with 53. Corey Stone, 54 for the Indians. And the Indians, I think, are around 500.
Well, what'd you say? They had a 203. What'd they have? 203. So they're close.
You ain't whistling Dixie.
You ain't a whistling Dixie right there, Spencer.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the Indian volleyball team, and I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Kalp. The Indians traveled to Jay County last night. You got JV's, I think, got a win, didn't he?
JV's won. I listened to the game on Fort Recovery Radio, and, you know, I kind of wanted to go to the game. My little buddy was supposed to pick me up, and then he kind of forgot about me.
That was nice of you, Mr.
Bubby forgot about me, so... Not a big deal. I stayed at home, and thank God I did, because I probably would have went crazy over there. But it just seemed like we were doing a lot of just a lot of mental mistakes and a lot of self-inflicted wounds, Bob.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, serving a lot of them into the net, bad serves. Going over the stats here a little bit. You know, the varsity, they lost that first game. They got down in a hurry, and then they battled back a little bit, but they lost that 17-25. The next game was a real close game, back and forth. We got beat 27-25.
I think they were down early in that one, too, though, in battle back. They were down 7-1 or something, maybe? Something
no, like I think that was the last game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think that was the last game. But, you know, the girls are 2-2 now. They picked up a couple victories on Saturday. They beat Salina and they beat Greenville.
Yep.
And they lost a heartbreaker to Arlington.
And then we got beat by Arlington, yeah.
Yep.
And
Arlington is supposed really to be premier
so,
volleyball.
You know, I hope that our girls get things straightened out because I think we've got some talent there.
I think so, too. I think they'll win a lot of games.
I think so, and I think the people that are really involved in volleyball feel the same way. So, looking at the stats here, Kendra Seifring, one of our big guns here on the team, she had 16 kills last night, 9 digs and 2 blocks.
Carlos. So she has, I don't know much about volleyball.
Yeah.
So she has 19 kills or whatever it is, 16 kills. Digs. That means she's playing all the way around?
She goes all the way around. Okay. Yeah. Kendra is one of the girls that makes a complete loop, I think, for us.
Okay.
And we did a lot of subbing. Who was I talking to today? You get 21 subs a game. You can put in 21 subs.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a limit.
Yeah, 21 subs a game, and last night she had 20. In one game, so she was pushing it there. But
Coach Rogers was supposed to be here last Wednesday, and something come up, she couldn't make it. And today she had to go, she had a doctor's appointment, or she had to go visit somebody at a hospital. She said she's going to be here next Wednesday.
I don't believe it.
Oh, yeah, she'll be here.
All right.
Huh? She will be here.
Okay.
I'm holding it to her.
All right.
I'll tell you what we'll do. If she ain't here, we'll just go to her house.
Okay.
We'll do a live remote right from her pad.
Here we go.
Yeah, and if she, you know, we'll just sit outside.
Where the hell does she live?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find.
We'll
it.
Drive around town.
Don't worry about
there.
That.
Yeah, we'll find her.
You got her. You got her phone number, right?
Yeah, we got her number.
Let me go over these stats, calling. Boys. You're killing me.
You want to shut up?
Yeah, you got to be quiet here. Carly Stone had 4 kills and 2 aces. Madison Grover had 12 digs. Now she plays back row all the time. Madison goes in the back row, and I think she subs for. I can't remember now. I want to say.
She's a little fart, ain't she?
Yeah, she's a little tacker. I think it's might be the Judy girl. Might be Eric Judy's daughter, Kirsten.
Kirsten? Is it Kirsten or Kristen?
Says on here, Kirsten.
Kirsten.
K-I-R-S-T-E-N. Okay. Kirsten Judy had 15 assists, so she's a setter, I guess.
She's
right?
A setter.
And then Alexis Bupp had 6 digs.
Is that Buppy's daughter?
Yeah, Alexis, she goes in the back row.
She ain't real big either, is she?
No, but she's getting taller.
Is she?
Yeah, she's getting taller. Actually, she plays pretty good. She plays pretty good. Looks like in the JV game, Hannah Kanapke had 3 kills and 5 digs. Kaya Wendell, they won in 3 sets, by the way. 25-16. I'll take that back. It was 3. We got beat once. 25-16, then we got beat 25-22, and then we won the last game. Man, that was close. 15-14. I didn't realize it was that close.
You don't have to win by 2?
No, not in the third set.
Really?
No.
Okay, so let me ask you this, okay? I don't know nothing about volleyball. You had a daughter that played, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why is it if you win one game, that's considered a set, but if you win 3...
It's a match?
It's a game. We won 3...
Oh, I don't know. I got that. Yeah.
I don't get that. And if anybody knows the answer to that, 419-516-0702, it's stupid.
Yeah, they changed that.
I don't.
It used to be. You know, you won the match. You lost.
I wish Coach Rogers was here right now because we'd find out.
Yeah, she'd know.
Yeah, she would.
Absolutely, she
go
would.
Go ahead.
No, I figured it was like tennis game set match would be. You know,
so
match.
Hannah, I agree. Hannah Kanapke, is that Jim and Carol's again? Is that Haley's sister?
Hannah,
I don't
Kanapke.
Know.
We're chewing on Chex Mix. In case
we got Kaya Wendell.
Actually, that was a bugle.
Oh, okay. No, we're not.
Kaya Wendell is.
It's not static.
That's Scott and Kim's
computer.
Okay. Joe Reisner is Jeff's. Sydney Deuce. Sydney Deuce is that?
That's got to be
Kurt's?
Amy and Kurt's.
I think. Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
She had 7 kills and 5 digs. She had a good game. Brooke Garkey had 2 kills and a block. Brooke Garkey. I don't know who.
That's Tim Garkey's daughter.
Oh, is that Tim?
Is that Garkey? Yeah. Is that? Holy cow!
Absolutely, it is.
And Madison Rammel had 14 assists, 7 digs, and 5 aces. Good game, Madison.
That is Kurt and...
Kurt and Dianis?
Dianis, yeah. And them were all freshmen, I think.
Yeah, she was... I think she played a little varsity, too. Carly Link had 5 kills, 2 blocks. Good game by Carly. Good match by the JV. I don't know what their record is overall, but...
That's probably their first game.
Could be.
I know it's very early. Well. I'm not sure if it's
very well could be because the varsity
look
played.
At the schedule
varsity
and see,
played
they may have, that might be their second one. They haven't played.
But anyhow, hopefully Chelsea gets the things rolled around here and the girls, you know, start playing good volleyball. I'm because I think they've got some chances.
All right, we got other stuff here. I got some. Kurt Rammel, by the way, sent me all this stuff, and I'm proud of him. The Fort Recovery JV football team traveled to Layman on Saturday, and they've got a victory 14-8 over the Cavaliers. Indians JV team improved 1-0. Curtis Gruby had a pick six, and Cole Dews with a 1-yard touchdown run for the Indians. Indians win their opener 14-6. We also have Tony Stallman. Oh, no. I'll tell you. I can't even follow nothing.
Are you allowed to say what Tony Stallman tweeted?
No, we talked about the Reds today a little bit.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that's the stats for the week. Tomorrow, the junior high, I can say the boys got Versailles Tigers here in football, junior high football. The girls' volleyball team is in there at home versus Delphi St. John's Blue Jays, and that is a 5:30 start.
And that'll be the junior high. The varsity will be here on Fort Recovery Radio. That'll be a WPGW simulcast. So,
junior high volleyball travels to Union City tomorrow. The junior high volleyball team won yesterday. Their first 7th and 8th grade both won. The 7th grade won in two games. They got a nice team. The 8th grade got a really good team. They destroyed Delphi St. John's. So the girls volleyball program is definitely on the downswing.
Ooh.
Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to spike it. You kind of swing down at it.
Good thinking, Bob.
The girls' golf team is in action tomorrow. They got, at the Mercer County Elks, they got the St. Henry Redskins. And the boys also have St. Henry at the Mercer County Elks. And that is probably a 4:30 start. The boys start at 4, girls at 4:30. So, busy day in the old...
Like Brent said before, he's exactly right. Football competes with so many different things.
It does. It does.
So you have got to make it fun for those kids to want to play football. Yeah. And right now, I'm sure it's fun for them.
And I think the cross-country team has a match on Saturday.
We go to Greenville.
We got Treaty City Invitational.
Yeah, Greenville.
Harrison will be running his...
Harrison's not running.
Harrison shut down?
No. He got in a little trouble tonight.
Whoop.
He got caught walking.
Got caught walking.
Got caught walking by the coach, so he's not allowed to run Saturday.
Ooh.
So he's not real happy about that. But
how about mom and dad? How they kind of support the coach, probably?
Yeah, dad's... Well, I guess I can't figure out the whole situation because there was 5 of them walking,
mm-hmm.
but only 2 of them aren't allowed to run.
Ooh. So,
we're struggling with the other 3. What happened there?
Right.
So, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Kids will be kids, won't they, brother?
Oh, you know, I got no troubles with it. I can't run like that. I give them credit. It was 90 degrees. They ran for God knows how long, and then, but whatever.
Yeah.
I saw them yesterday running out. They were coming into town from around the VFW.
Yeah,
they pressed
coming down the
in.
State line.
Saying hey to Hedge Woman.
And when I came back Hedgie. In, they had they were coming in from out Sharpsburg Road, Dairy Queen. I don't know how far.
They run a lot. You know, they do a lot of running. They run 5 miles.
They're runners. That's what they do.
So they got a big match there on Saturday morning at Greenville.
All right, so we're going to take one more break. We're going to come back, and we're talking about college football.
Boom. Kickoff tomorrow.
Go Bucks.
So like an hour, 58 minutes or so.
We're
back.
Chuck, what was that all about? You just don't say, are you guys ready?
We weren't ready at the time when he said it.
I know.
We're talking about how much
time. Was chit-chatting.
We're kind of chit-chatting.
We're extremely fast.
We're chit-chatting. All right, so Calpe, Monday night, it all starts. Buckeyes defend their national title when they travel to Virginia Tech, take on the Hokies and Frank Beamer. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped.
Are you pumped or nervous? Big Fee last week, he was nervous about this game.
Well, I mean, I'm nervously pumped.
Nervously pumped, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got a feeling we're going to go there and absolutely put it to them because they were the ones that knocked us off last year.
Yeah, they hurt us last year.
But, you know,
almost
we're missing
kept out of the playoffs.
We're missing a couple key players.
You ain't whistling Dixie. Urban Meyer said today, I have no idea who's going to take that first snap. He has absolutely no idea. And he's not going to tell anybody till I think we see a guy come out there for that. I don't think anybody's going to know.
Yeah. Oh, I think he knows.
Huh?
I think he knows.
I'm pretty sure he knows, but he isn't telling us.
Yeah, he might be right.
I think them players knows. But My gut feeling is it's going to be Barrett. I think it'll be JT Barrett that comes out as quarterback. I think there'll be times when we see Cardale Jones, JT Barrett, and Braxton Miller on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
But how crazy is that? What kind of play are you going to draw up on that one?
Yeah.
A little wildcat play.
But you sure as hell wouldn't want to get all three of them hurt. Would that be
something? No
doubt. What a play.
Buckeyes open up Monday night at 8 o'clock kickoff. 8 o'clock kickoff, and I think it's on ESPN.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Or is it might be ABC. Hell, I don't know. But it'll be fun. We also have our fantasy football draw Monday at 5.
Ooh.
Out the bowl.
You a big fantasy football guy?
Oh, I love it.
Do you really?
I'm a Jones for it, yeah.
So what's that thing on TV when they talk about you can win thousands and thousands?
Oh, that's the...
Do you do that?
I do not. I know a lot of guys that do. It's
is that a one week?
It says every
thing,
week.
One day thing?
No, it's every day you can bet on something. I mean, you're betting on, you're making lineups out for fantasy and you know, baseball. You can, you know, and you're, it's just, you can play different games. You can play $3 games, $7 games, $500 games.
Really?
Whatever you want to get into. But on the big ones, you know, they do that. And you know, they do fantasy golf, the same deal. And you just pick your players, and it's all based on points, you know. And if you gotta have the most points, and you're in that, it's a tough gig because
By the way, I love that fantasy golf commercial when that guy comes strolling up on that cart.
Yeah, that is good.
Stricker's out there, right?
Yeah. I love that. Good, yeah, but it's time to start Buckeye football on Monday. And
you got any tickets to get any games this year?
Cooper's got an outing. I think it is. I can look it up right now.
Are they going to have a bunch of tickets to go or something?
Yeah, they got a tent.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun, but, you know, Calpe.
I think I'm going to go down on the I got tickets for October the 10th. We play the Maryland Terps.
Nope.
So that's a Big Ten game. Yeah. I haven't been down to see them play in a couple of years. So
you got tickets for the 10th?
I got tickets for the
10th. How many tickets you got?
I got a couple, but...
Who you taking?
Me and Harrison. Me and Harris are going to go down.
Yeah, thanks.
But I might be able to pull a couple more tickets out.
I'm just saying. I mean, we've been together all summer. I don't break up the team.
I'm going to make a couple phone calls, see if I can't line up something, a couple more tickets for the boys.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Probably going to put us up there by the highway patrolman.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, as long as you're in there.
Yeah.
Because when that band comes out,
I goosebump,
I cry. I mean, it's just...
Do you really?
Oh, I get tears all the time. I can turn on something right now. Like, if I go on YouTube and I watch... I get a little emotional,
god dang it. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No. I got that from Big P.
I don't need you crying. If you go to the game.
I won't sob. I mean, okay. I might get like the Indian tear going down my cheek.
Oh, that's okay. I can't see you having the shoulder shakes going.
No, I won't do that.
Won't get that bad.
I don't think I'll do that. Hey, shout out to our buddy Harold Philly driving home from Lima. Team had a tough loss today, but they'll get back at him. They'll get back on the winning ways. God love her.
They got to have a lot of games. Jeez and Pete's. College.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be 419-516-0702 if you want to call in. Ask us anything you want to talk sports. Did you by any chance watch Reds today?
No, I, they played an afternoon game, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm at work, Bob. I don't have that luxury like you to sit at home and watch a game.
You don't have a radio?
I do have it on my phone. So ESPN chimes in. I take a quick peek, see what's going on. I did see Votto hit a bomb, huh?
Oh, that guy's unbelievable.
He's on a roll.
He is. Yeah.
He's on a roll.
A three-run home run, and I think it was either...
Top of the ninth?
Top of the ninth and top of the tenth.
Oh, I saw that...
I think it was the top of the ninth.
I watched him play the other night when they won 13-6.
Yeah,
13-something.
That dude had 3 errors, one inning.
Well, I turned it on. We were getting beat 3-1. We tied it up 3-3. They took a 5-3 lead, I think, and then we came back, tied it up again. And then the Duvall came in. So did you get to see him hit his first?
I did.
They talked about his first at bat in minor league home run. His first at bat for the Dodgers? Did he play for the... No, the Giants.
Yeah.
He hit his first home run, his first at bat off of Mike Leake in the major leagues, and then he gets traded for Mike Leake, comes up for the Reds, his first at bat for the Reds hits a home run. That's unbelievable.
That is.
And he smoked it out of Wrigley Field.
Ross Wendell, he gets on me a lot because I still follow the Reds. I'm an idiot. And I still tweet about the Reds. And he says, the other night I tweeted something about Jay Bruce. And he tweets back. He says, you know you're the only one watching the Reds right now. Yeah, thank you, Ross.
Well,
I never liked Ross.
I got to tell you, I still turn them on. I can't watch nine innings anymore. I'm frustrated with them. Of course, we got five rookie pitchers in the starting rotation. Right. And a couple of them have pitched pretty good.
Iglesias is going to be an absolute
stud. He will pitch for us next year, no doubt.
He could be number one.
He could be number one, that's right. If Homer doesn't have his stuff next year, he'll be number one. But I don't know. I think they'll get rid of Bruce. Don't you think?
I don't think anybody wants him.
Problem
you
is,
want him?
Problem
Mariners don't want him.
The Mariners don't want him. No. They got the worst record in baseball.
No. I'm talking about Grand Lake.
The Grand Lake Mariners?
No.
Oh, they'll take Jay Bruce.
No.
Yeah.
He couldn't hit one on Montgomery Field.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he could if they don't throw him a curveball.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he sucks.
Well, you might be right. We might not be able to get anything for this guy, but see, he had a lot of potential. He's still got a gun. He's got an absolute cannon in
his my daughter's favorite player, too. So.
Ooh, is that right?
Bruce. Oh, she loves
Sammy?
Bruce. Yeah, so we want to thank our sponsors tonight. Reesner's Energy, 10-Man Sports Bar, K&L Tractor, Fowler Mechanical, Nature's Green, Wayne IGA, Hastings Auto Sales, Forget-Me-Not Floors.
Forget about B&D.
B&D, absolutely.
Coming in out of nowhere.
Absolutely, B&D. We want to thank Coach Niekamp for coming in. It's always great to have Coach come in. Copy just threw me a bugle. Tell me if you can hear me eat this. Yeah, not too bad.
Oh, I'm getting ready for this music right here.
I am too. I can't wait.
I'll tell you what. They got to play as long as anybody last year. There was only two teams that played as late as they did.
Amen, brother.
And it seemed like it was forever ago.
I know. So I loved it.
Let's play football.
We want to thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank our sponsors, Bubba and Fee, my good friend Dave Kelp sitting in for Mr. Feely.
Always a pleasure.
For Chuck Rohr and Mick Spence. We want to thank everybody for listening. Have a good night, everybody.
Listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee was brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station. FortRecoveryRadio.com is the home of the Fort Recovery Indians. We'll be right back. now we send you back to the studio for regular programming.